He knew that See, even God knows that what? You got to have a good foundation, don't you? Now, if you build a house, what do you got to have first and foremost? You got to have a good foundation, don't you? Because if you don't have a good foundation, what is it? The house isn't going to be level. It could even collapse and fall. If you don't have a good foundation. So God knew that, you know what? You need a good foundation to build upon. A good foundation. He says it's a stone. It's a stone that He's giving to us. A stone. A precious cornerstone. Who's the cornerstone of the church? Jesus Christ. He's the cornerstone of our church. The church is one foundation. Who is that precious cornerstone in our lives? Who is it that we can always go to all the time? He is so precious unto us. Now this is something that you want to grab a hold on and never let go, is Jesus Christ. You don't want to ever let go of Him. He's more precious than silver. He's more precious than gold. It's more precious than diamonds. Now I know a lot of women, I know you like diamonds. And they might be precious to you, but Jesus is more precious to you than any diamond. Your wedding ring, I know, is precious unto you. But you know what? You're betrothed to somebody more precious than that. And that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He's a tried stone. Remember, the Scriptures tell us what? Jesus Christ was in all points, what? Tempted as we are, but what? There's a qualifying statement added on to that. Yet He was without sin. He was without sin. So He's a tried. He's a tried stone. Remember, in the book of Matthew, He was tempted by Satan. Remember, Jesus was what? He was fasting in the wilderness for 40 days. There's that word fasting again. He was fasting in the wilderness for 40 days. And afterwards, the Bible says He was hungry. He was God incarnate in the flesh. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, He was Jesus Christ. Did He need to eat? Yeah. He was hungry. He was just like us. He's a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. And He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Because He knows exactly what we were going through. So He was a hunger. And remember, Satan says, if thou be the Son of God, command that those stones be made bread. Jesus Christ answered him with Scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And there was a couple other times. He took him up into a pinnacle of the temple and sat there and said, you know, jump off. You know, God has said, you know, that He'll give these angels charge over you, that you won't even hurt your foot against the stone. And then what did He say? Again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The last time He sat there, you know, but all three times He said, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God. And He said, He took him up and showed him the whole world and said, fall down and worship me, and I'll give you everything that's in this world. And what did Jesus answer again? You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shalt thou serve. And then Satan left Him. You know what? When we're built upon that sure foundation, you know what? There's going to come times in our lives when Satan's going to say the same thing to us. If you are a child of God, you know, why are you going through these trials? Why are you going through these temptations? Why are you going to all these things? If you're the child of God, God said He's going to take care of you. Now, what kind of a God is that? And He lets you go through all these things. But we have faith and trust in God, that He's the sovereign God. He's in control of everything that happens in the world. And He takes care of His own. He takes care of us. A whole lot better than we deserve does He take care of us. He watches over us. He protects us. He keeps us out of a lot of trouble that we don't even realize we could get ourselves into. So He is what? He's a tried stone. He's a precious cornerstone. Isn't He precious to us today? When we sit there and we're talking about prayer, He is the one. He's the mediator. No man can come unto the Father but through Him. So when we offer up our prayers, we're praying actually to Jesus Christ. So He is, should be, He is and should be so precious unto us. Precious. A sure foundation. A sure foundation. He is. Remember we just sat there and said, the certainty of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a sure foundation. He's going to be there for you. You know what? It doesn't make any difference how many times you have to go to Him. He's there for you all the time. No matter how many times we have to go to that throne of mercy, we can continue to go there because it's a sure foundation. It's sure that He's going to be there for us. No matter how many times, He's always there for us. Each and every day of our lives. Turning into the New Testament, turn to Luke chapter 6. I'm going to start reading at verse 46. This is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ talking unto us. And He says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Now, I like the way he starts this little area out here. And he says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And you've heard me speak here that, you know, Jesus always asks a lot of questions, doesn't he? He always asks a lot of questions. Now, when somebody asks you a question, normally you have to think about the answer. So now you can see why he's asking us questions, because he wants us to think. And why would we call him Lord, Lord? Why would we call him Lord? And that's saying, you know, you are the Lord of my life. Why do we call him Lord and do not the things which he tells us to do? So you need to answer that question. Why do we call him Lord? If we call him Lord, we should be willing to do the things which he tells us to do. So he's telling us something here that we're to do. He's prefacing this little parable that he's going to talk about here. He's prefacing this and saying, you know what? I'm going to tell you something that you need to do. Now, we can either be wise or we can be foolish, can't we? You know, we've always got choices in this life, don't we? We've got choices. You know, we can always go to the left, we can go to the right when we're on the road. We have to make choices, always in our lives. It's always about choices. So in verse 47, he says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." So he's talking about some individual. He's talking to an individual here. Now, if we look at this verse here, let's break this down a little bit here. He's saying, "Whosoever cometh to me." So he's talking about somebody that's going to come to him. Now, if we come to him, remember in the book of Hebrews, we must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why would you go to somebody if you didn't believe who he was? We wouldn't go see a doctor if we wanted to talk to a lawyer, would we? I certainly wouldn't trust a lawyer to operate on me either, would you? So when we come to Jesus Christ, we're coming to Him for who He is and what He can do for us. Believing who He is. So we're talking, this someone comes to Him and hears His sayings. So we're believing that He is, and now we can hear Him. Now, the Scripture tells us that we have to have hearing ears. So the things that are contained in here, the things that Jesus is going to relate to us here are spiritual things. So we need to have what? Spiritual ears. So we're going to come to Him, we're going to not only going to hear His sayings, but what does He say? We're going to do them. We're going to do them. And he says, now I'm going to show you that this individual, I'm going to show you to who this individual is like, who's going to come to me, he's going to hear what I say, and he's going to do what I say. He's like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. So now we see what he's telling us here. He's telling us here. This individual who does these things in verse 47 is like a man that built a house. He built a house. And he digged deep. He digged deep. Now, in this day and age, to dig a hole for a foundation doesn't really take a lot of effort, does it? And we got these nice big bulldozers and the backhoes and the different things. They can dig deep and get a foundation laid in no time at all. But here, back then, they didn't have that. So he's telling us, you know what, it's going to take some effort to dig down and get into it. What do we need to do here? In this Bible right here, what do we need to do? We need to dig in deep to find out what is revealed in His Scriptures. We have to dig deep. Dig deep. And laid the foundation upon a rock. So, you know you're not going to lay a foundation and build a house upon sand, are you? Because you know that sand shifts and it moves around. It's very unsteady. But here he's saying, you know what? You need to lay the foundation upon a rock. Rock. What did it say? In Isaiah, it said, He is a stone. A stone. It's a rock. And when the flood arose, the steam beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. When we base our faith and everything we believe in upon Jesus Christ, who is the sure foundation, when that stream rises and it beats vehemently against us, when Satan is assailing us, you know what? It's not going to be able... Satan cannot shake us. Cannot shake us. Why? Because it's our faith and everything that we believe is founded upon Jesus Christ, who is the rock. He is the rock of our salvation. He is the rock that is in our lives. As I was thinking about this, I wrote a few words down here. I said, if we are on the good foundation, even though Satan will come against us, and he will come against us, don't be fooled into thinking that, you know what, Satan is not going to come against you, because he will. He will not prevail. He will not prevail. Even though the hosts of hell assail us, they will not prevail. Because why? Our faith is in Jesus Christ. Our faith is in Christ. And because of that, what? Our faith is not going to be shaken. Because it's Jesus Christ. Who do we look to for help and guidance in our lives? If you're not looking to Him, you should be looking to Him. I think one of the problems in our country is we've got away from trusting in Jesus. We've got away from trusting in Jesus. And the world in which we live in today is a fast-paced world. And you can see all these commercials and everything, and for all these products, they want you to make a decision right now. Don't trust in Jesus. You know, trust in us. You know, we're not going to lead you wrong. But you know what? We need to trust in Jesus all the time. All the time. Verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation buildeth a house upon the earth. I think in another, in Matthew or whatever it says, upon the sand, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Remember I said, if you don't build upon a good foundation, what happens? That house can fall down. Jesus is saying it is going to fall. Your faith is going to fall unless it's founded upon that sure foundation, which is Jesus Christ. So So who do we need to believe in and have faith in and trust in all the times in our lives? Is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Throughout the Scriptures, we have evidences, a lot of witnesses of people that believed and had faith in Jesus Christ. I know that a couple of them that we've been talking about is a lot lately, I think, is in the book of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Where was their faith built upon? The sure foundation of Jesus Christ. Now people sit there and say, well, Jesus Christ was born in the New Testament. Jesus Christ was there before the foundation of the world, and He is in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is in the Old Testament. So don't let anybody fool you. Remember these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wouldn't fall down and worship the image. Because what? There were that house and what they believed in was founded upon a rock, and it could not shake them. It could not shake them. Remember, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you know what, we're not going to fall down and worship your God, O Nebuchadnezzar. And we don't care. Because we have faith and trust in our God that He's going to deliver us out of this. And even if He wouldn't deliver us out of it, you know, we're still not going to worship your God. So they were saying, no matter what, we have faith and trust in God, and it's not going to shake what we believe in. And because they were built upon that foundation, you know what? They didn't care. Even if they would die, it didn't make any difference to them. They were not going to fall down and worship that image. Not going to. Daniel, when they wasn't supposed to ask any petitions of anybody, but Nebuchadnezzar, what happened there? He still went and prayed. They cast him into the lion's den. Well, the other three, they cast into the fiery furnace. We know what happened. What happened to them? Nothing. Didn't even singe a hair on their head. How could that be? How could three men fall down into a burning, fiery furnace that Nebuchadnezzar told them to heat seven times hotter than what it was wont to be? When the guards sat there and threw them in, the fire was so great that the guards were killed, were burned up. But now we got three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, and he sat there and says, he looked at his advisors and says, didn't we throw three in there? And they said, yeah. Well, I see a fourth one in there walking around with them. They were walking around in the fire. And the visage of the fourth is like the Son of God. Who is the Son of God? Jesus Christ. So who was in the midst of the burning, fiery furnace with those three children? Jesus Christ. Nebuchadnezzar said, oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. Come out. And they came out. Not even the smell of fire was upon them. I know I've been using this a lot lately, but boy, our God is an awesome God, isn't He? He's an awesome God. Because who is the only one that could do that and make that happen? God. God. Daniel was cast into the lion's den. All night long he was in the lion's den. And you know what it's like. I mean, you know, they made sure these lions were hungry. Hungry. They didn't feed them an awful lot because when they threw these in there, they wanted to make sure the people, when they threw them into the lion's den, that the lions were going to kill them and eat them. All night long, God was with them. And when the king came out in the morning, and he came by, and he says, oh, Daniel, are you okay? What did Daniel say? I ain't going to quote, so don't quote me on this one. But he says, don't worry, king. He says, my God has kept me alive through the night. My God has kept me alive. So here are people that trusted in that sure foundation. Trusted in God. No matter what would be the outcome, they trusted in Him. that He will deliver. And He will deliver us. He will deliver us out of the fire. He will deliver us out of the fire. For He is a great God and He is an awesome God. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. I'll get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 10 through 12. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We know that the Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, and he said that he was a wise master builder. Now, he was wise and he was a master builder, and he knew that what am I going to build everything upon? And that's Jesus Christ. As he went out there and he spoke to the Gentiles, he was preaching what? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And that's what he was out there doing. See, he has laid that foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. But he's telling, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's only one foundation, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. If we would go on, we could look a little bit farther here. That it says that, now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So we need to take heed how we build upon that foundation. Remember, Jesus Christ said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" How are we building upon that foundation? Are we using Jesus Christ as the basis of how we build upon that foundation? The book of Ephesians says we're ordained to good works, that we should do good works. How do we build upon that? Are we fruit bearers? I think Brother Roger brought that out one time. Are we fruit bearers? Are we bearing fruit? Are we stagnant? This can go not only for each individual life, but also for a church. The church needs to watch out too. See, all these things, I know I'm talking about us, but these things are the same thing for the church. You know, we need to watch out how we build upon it. We need to be fruit bearers as a church and not become stagnant as a church. Not at all. We need to do these things. Let's turn into the book of Ephesians. You know, I love the book of Ephesians. But as we talk about the one foundation, first off, let's turn to chapter 4. Verse 4. Remember, we talked about one. You know, one is that perfect number. One is the perfect number. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So see, that basis of one is right here. And there is one foundation that we can build upon. Go back just a couple of chapters into chapter 2 of Ephesians in verse 20. I'm going to start at verse 19. Go back one verse. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and we just heard about Paul, that other foundation can no man lay, which is Jesus Christ. But now here, he's also not only the foundation, but he's the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone of our faith. He's the cornerstone of our lives. He is the cornerstone of our church also. He is that. But you know what? And when we build upon that, look at what it says. The building is built together. It's fitly framed together. But what happens? When we're all fitly framed together, when we're built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, what is going to happen? We're going to grow. We are going to grow as a church. I'm not talking numbers. I mean, yeah, we'd like to have a lot, some more people in here, but you know what? I'm talking about growing spiritually. Not in numbers. Not in numbers. Spiritually. We grow together unto the holy temple in the Lord. We're all builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. See, even if we didn't have this building here, we'd still be a church. We'd still be a church. The building doesn't make the church. The people make the church. The people. That's what makes the church. So yeah, we've got a foundation underneath our church here. But you know what? Even if we didn't have this building and we had to maybe sit out on the grass, you know what? We should still have that foundation of Jesus Christ. Just because you don't have a building is nothing. Is nothing. The early church had no actual building. They mainly met in people's houses. But again, they were built upon Jesus Christ as the church. As the church. In chapter 3 of Ephesians in verse 17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. That means we're rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, which means we're built upon that foundation. And the hosts of hell cannot assail us. Cannot assail us. Because if we are trusting in Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, look at what it says in the rest of these verses. That we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that wonderful? And I'm going to just read on. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So we can see, when all this, we can comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of Jesus Christ that He has for us. He has just this wonderful, amazing love for each and every one of us, that He gave Himself to die upon the cross for sinners such as we are. If you're a child of God, that's fine. But you know what? If you're a child of God, you're still a sinner. You're a sinner. You're a sinner saved by the grace of God. You're going to sin until the day you die and you go to the grave. And then there's a separation. There's a separation of body and soul. The soul goes to heaven to be with Jesus Christ. He is so wonderful unto us. To know that love that He had for each and every one of us. It's that love that passeth knowledge. And He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He is just so wonderful. He is so good unto us, isn't He? I can't believe how good He is unto us. You know, day after day after day, I go, so I'm saying, I know you do too. We go to Him and we ask Him, Jesus, I need your help. And how many times does He continue to answer us? And then I just get so amazed, and I'm just like, wow. And then I think, well, why should I be so amazed? It's Jesus Christ. He said He'll take care of us. We need to put it what? Into whose hands? Not Allstate. You're in good hands with Allstate? No, you're in good hands with God. He'll take care of you. He'll watch over us all the time. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to probably be closing with this and a few other comments. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So it all boils down to this. The foundation of God stands sure. Now we've brought that out a couple of times this morning. He is the sure foundation. He's the sure stone. He's the cornerstone. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. The Lord knows each and every one that are His. And shouldn't He? Who is it that wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life but the Lord? But He knows them that are His. That's sure. And we know Him. Remember the book of Matthew, it says, you know what? My sheep hear My voice. We know His voice. We know when He speaks to us. And I know some people are going to sit there and say, oh, well, one of these crazy wackos. You know, God, Jesus is speaking to them. Jesus speaks to us. I don't care if it's through here, or maybe He does speak to us in a still small voice. But I know there's people out there that they'll sit there and they'll say, well, I was hearing voices, you know. That's not Jesus. Jesus don't tell you to go kill somebody, you know. I'm sorry. So if they're hearing voices, it's not Jesus telling them to go kill somebody. But I believe He does speak to us. He speaks to us in a still, small voice. The Bible tells us that. He speaks to us. He spoke to our hearts in the regeneration. That's why we came in front of the church and asked for a home in the church and made a public profession of our faith. Because He talked to our hearts. And we knew that there is now something different about us. You heard me say there is a transformation. A transformation. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now the difference is the child of God, when he sins, repents of his sin. And he feels bad about it. Somebody who is not a child of God, when they sin, they don't worry about it. Now I could get deeper into that, why I know that. But that's a whole other sermon. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. When we're out there in the world today and things start going wrong and we think that we have nobody there for us, He is there for us all the time. The one I know that we like to go to is Footprints in the Sand. Where when the individual looked back and he saw that there were times in his life when he only saw one set of footprints. And he sat there and he asked Jesus, and he says, you know what? I thought that you said that you would never leave me nor forsake me. But yet when I look back on my life and I see one set of footprints, he says, why did you leave me? Says, that's when I needed you most. And remember, in the poem Jesus says, you know what? My son, I didn't leave you. He says, that were the times that I was carrying you. How many times does He carry us in this world? Probably a lot more times than we really would like to believe. But He's there for us. He's that sure foundation for us. We need to, in our lives, look unto Jesus Christ. Look unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. He died upon the cross for us. He shed His blood for the remission of our sins. and you've heard me say it, it's just that He did everything. He suffered, bled, and died. He was scourged. He was spit upon. And we gained all the benefits, didn't we? We gained all the benefits. And He went through everything for us. What a wonderful Savior He is unto us. He is just so wonderful, so good unto each and every one of us. Pray one for another, that God would give us the strength, that we would be able to stand against Satan in this evil world. Because the Bible tells us He's as a roaring lion, and He's going about seeking whom He may devour. So we need to watch out while we're out there in the world. Remember, we need to be out in the world, but not of the world. I know these are little cliches that you hear us say all the time, but we need to remember that, because it's tough out there in the world today. We know it right now. We see so many different things. It's hard out there. And sometimes, you know what? Sometimes we make the right decisions, sometimes we make the wrong decisions. I know, I'm here, I'm a witness to it. I've made some good decisions, I've made some bad decisions in my life. But you know what? When we get ready to make decisions, who do we need to look to when we make those decisions? Jesus Christ. To help us make the decisions in our lives. Pray for Brother Roger. Pray for Brother Leroy and myself as we try to feed the flock. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a very humbling experience, and it's a very frightening experience to come up here. It really is. I know for years and years and years I fought it. I fought it. I didn't want to do it. Wanted to have nothing to do with it. Tried my hardest to not. And now I'd rather do nothing else but speak about Jesus Christ. You know, we all knew people in our lives, didn't we? How much joy. You could just look in their faces, couldn't you, and see the joy when they came up here and preached the Word. How wonderful it is to talk about Jesus Christ and how He is so good unto each and every one of us. I thank you for your kind attention this morning.